turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I don't think that you'll find the message is too scatterbrained from what I can tell. I usually have a fairly consistent theme, sometimes. But I'm going to start off without actually getting into the scripture and going more into a brief story. And I'll tell you right now that this message was inspired by my wife. We are coming to a season in our lives where, for whatever reason, and it is unknown to me, where the Lord has put before us several open doors and opportunities. Business, ministry, life, just it's almost impossible just to nail down all the different opportunities that have come before us. And so to give you an idea of how funny that is, I've mentioned that before to a few people, and Rob was and I were talking on the phone. He was just checking with me and seeing what was going on. And so he hangs up, and then he calls me right back. So if Rob calls me right back after I just hung up with him, you know, that's unusual. He just, after he hung up with me, got this picture, this vision, or this insight or whatever about the Indiana Jones movie where Indiana Jones had to pick the cup when he was there and the guard was there and he had to pick the actual cup that Christ drank from. And so there's all those different cups. You know what's the movie I'm talking about? And he had to choose wisely because, you know, there were shiny cups and nice looking cups. Remember, Jesus was a carpenter. So the Holy Grail, quote unquote, the cup is not going to be something that was all full of studs and diamonds. It's going to be more to the liking of the ministry working character of Jesus. And so he was just saying, I just had that picture about you need to pick the right, you know, the carpenter's cup kind of thing. And there's a lot there, which is funny. He didn't even know, but it's like, yeah, that's really applicable to what's going on. So last night, Noel and I were talking, and what we were doing is what a lot of couples do and a lot of people do in life. And we were, humorously, I say this, going over our future. Have you ever done that? I know I'm not the only person in Christianity who's gone over their future, where you sit there and you look down the road and you start, you know, well, this could be this and this could happen this, or if I go here, then this might happen, or if I do this, then this might happen. And you start that review process. You know what I'm talking about? And you start reviewing it. And of course, our biggest difficulty in life itself is many times when you get into a review process, because you can't see, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, because you can't see what's coming, you have this sense of anxiety. Because you don't know what it is, and there's a party that's supposed to trust, and, you go through this little ambivalence, because you're like looking around the corner, and see the thing about around the corner is you can't see it, because it's around a corner. And you're like going, So we're talking about our future, and then I start naming this, and you guys, unlike my characteristic, I start really going down, like, well, then this could be this, and this could this, then we could do this, and by that time I'm done, I'm, you know, 60 years down the road. And my wife had the wisdom to say, well, first she said it this way, slow down, Dave, slow down. That was the first thing she said. And then she said, you're worrying about the future. You're worrying about the future. And she said, you need to take this one day at a time. And that's the title of the message. Day by day. Day by day. And she was right. I mean, it's not a huge revelation. And again, look at this material. I'm telling you, if you don't get it, it's all at least 2,000 years old. It's not new material. It's just fresh for us from time to time and season to season. And that's right. I'm sitting there processing 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and I'm looking at that scope, and then I'm trying to have some level of faith that associates with it. The problem is that time has not come. If you look down the future and you're trying to have faith for what's going to happen in 2 months, you know why it's really difficult to do it, to have faith for 2 months from now? It is why? It's because you're supposed to have faith for the mountains that you encounter. You're supposed to be able to speak to the mountain and the mountain moves. The problem is when you speak faith to a mountain that's 2 months down the road, it's not real. It doesn't exist. So you speak faith to something that's not even real, and then you can't figure out why it doesn't swallow it up. Well, first of all, it's a phantom mountain. It's not an actual mountain. So you're using faith for something that in statistical probability, especially in the kingdom of God, will probably never even get there. And then you can't figure out why you're not finding the victory. So let's look at what Jesus said. He said some pretty cool things. Let's take it from Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at verse 25. And he says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Boy, I hope nobody from PETA is here, because we're more valuable than birds, just in case somebody missed that. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Nobody can add a single hour to your life by worrying. In fact, by worrying, you reduce your time. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And here is the key to the verse in the passage. Therefore, which means in conclusion, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's some programs that are privately and government funded that talk about a process of going day by day, living day by day. It is 100% biblical. It is 100% biblical to go day by day. How many of you can tell me right now what's going to happen tomorrow? None of you. And the reason is because we've said 1,000 times, we're all geniuses regarding the past, but we're not so intelligent regarding the future, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So Jesus tries to tell people, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. You got today. Take care of today. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Just concentrate on today. And again, I liken this to, and again, you've heard this before, but I liken this to everybody has a certain amount of faith every day. And as being born and raised Jewish and becoming a Christian, I equate that to a dollar value of my faith. I see faith as me getting a dollar from God every day. That's my dollar. That's my dollar. That's my faith. This is what I'm going to use for today. And you know what a lot of us do? We take 95 cents of that dollar and we apply it to some other day. But we get a dollar every day. We should be using the full dollar for today. All the faith that you have, you should be mustering and using for today. And when you wake up tomorrow, guess what? You'll get another dollar. And when you wake up the day after that, you'll get another dollar. You see, we're spending our faith in the future, and it's not getting a very good return on its expenditure. You got to do it for today. And you think, well, you're being short-sighted. No, it's very simple. Jesus' principles are very simple. You don't face the future with fear. You face the future with faith, but you certainly don't worry about it and create anxiety for something that's months and months away. If the Lord decides the party's over, you could spend a lot of time worrying for nothing. I'm so worried about this thing that's supposed to happen this when this happens in 4 months from now. And what if there isn't 4 months from now? What if it doesn't come? What a waste of life. What a waste of effort. What a waste of energy of your life. You see, he wants you to focus on today. You know what? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can trust this. You don't know what's around the corner, but you know who's around the corner. That's all you need. Leave it there. But in regards to right now and today, use your faith for today, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. And why do you want to function? And why do I want to function? In a deficit. Why do I want to sit there and think, well, 20 years from now, then this might mean this, and this could be this, and then I'd have to do this, and I'd do that. What a waste. How about I get through today and let tomorrow be tomorrow and not worry about it? You get that process? You understand? Everybody getting that? Is everybody sinking in there? All right. Let's drive the point home. James chapter 4. This will be James chapter 4, taking a right-hand turn. The premise is important to understand that when you live outside of day by day, the subjectivity of the application of your faith is tremendous. It's tremendously subjective to the winds and the waves because you can't apply it to anything solid. But your faith for today, you can apply for what's solid. And don't say, well, we know for sure, you know, the sun's going to come up. You know that for sure? You know that God hasn't decided beyond your personal theology? Nope, the program's over right now. And that couldn't happen in an hour? James chapter 4, verse 13 says this. James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to this or that city, spend a year there carrying on business and making money. Verse 14, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, James has got a lot of very pointed statements in his epistle. And one of his most pointed statements is this: you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. How can you sit there and lay your plans out and start boasting and bragging about what you are or aren't going to do? Your life is a mist. In the King James, it says a vapor. You know, I think of that Vicks vapor rub and that stuff. It's like a vapor. It's like, done. In the great economy of life, your tomorrow is uncertain. Other then your tomorrow is still owned by your King and your Lord and your Savior. That's where there's certainty. But you and I don't have the capacity to know 24 hours from now. I don't have the power to get my faith beyond there because I can't really see what it is. But I know what I'm facing right this moment. I know if I'm facing fear right now. I know if I'm facing doubt right now. I know if I'm facing financial struggle or relationship trouble or family issues. I know if I'm struggling with drugs or alcohol or sex or anything. I know now what I'm facing. I need to use my faith now for what I'm going through right now. Not what might be or what might not be. And to give you an idea of how important this day-by-day concept is, I got three scriptures that really kind of, I think, kind of sink it well for you. Lamentations in the Old Testament, so we're taking a long left turn. Lamentations is right after the book of Jeremiah and right before the book of Ezekiel. Lamentations, small little book that Jeremiah wrote, five-chapter book, right in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel is Lamentations. And I want you to go to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, and I want you to see kind of the coolness of this day-by-day thinking because it will set you free from anxiety and fear and trouble. How would you like to live your life with less anxiety, less fear, and less trouble? Anybody? I want to do that. Exactly. I want to live with less of that. I want to live with more peace. I want to live with more grace. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 says this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Listen to what the passage says. I'm going to read it again. It doesn't need a ton of commentary. It doesn't need a commentary. Listen to what he's saying. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because he loves us so much, he doesn't wipe us out. Cool. For his compassions never fail. Can count on the character of God all the time. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning that you get up, every morning that you are in bed and your eyes open and you see presumably the wall or the ceiling or whatever it is you see when your eyes open in the morning, you have to recognize that is new again today. It is yet another day that starts off in grace and mercy and compassion and the favor and the love of God. Every single morning that you wake up is God saying, here we go again, a fresh new day, a fresh new start. Let's go. Let's get the whole thing rolling again for this day. Let's see what we can do for my kingdom for this day. But you're starting off new, fresh, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of love for me. So let's get the day rolling. That's the mindset of God. I gotta think we should be moving towards the mindset of God. Listen, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. You wake up and you get out of bed. And if you're like some people, before you're really awake, you have to have coffee. But then maybe once you have the coffee, you start to figure out, wait a minute, I got another day. Have you ever noticed how people who almost die always talk about every day is like a gift? You ever heard that expression from people? And they always, you know what? They're right. They're right and we're wrong when we don't think that way. Because every day is a gift from God. Use your faith for that day. Live for that day. Recognize the compassions of God are for you that day. Recognize that the mercies of God are in that day. Do not be afraid of tomorrow. Deal with today. Deal with today. Right-hand turn, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And here's an important point, and I want you to hear what Jesus is saying, again, on this day by day. And you think, well, that's important. No, that's not important. That's important. There's a big difference between important and important. I mean, this is stuff you've got to live by. You've got to do this. You've got to go through this. Maybe there's awesome things in your future. Maybe there's tough things. Maybe there's all that stuff. Who cares? It's God that's in your future. Deal with today. Now, in saying that, you know I don't oppose planning. I'm not against planning. I'm against being afraid in the planning. I'm against facing the future with fear. That's what I'm against, so you understand. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. I think this makes it pretty clear. Most of us deal with stress and finances and in certain things along those lines. Finance is a big one, especially of late. Listen to what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. He says this, when you're praying, and actually, let's use verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. He doesn't say give us tomorrow our daily bread. He says, give us today our daily bread. Lord, we're dealing with today. We need your help. We need your supplies. We need the things that we need to sustain and to live. We need the daily bread so we can eat, live, keep moving and going forward. We need it today. He doesn't say, give us in 1 month our daily bread. Give us last week our daily bread. Give us in, give us in next century our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We need stuff today. You getting that day-by-day emphasis? All right, a couple more verses and we'll be done. But got to take another hard left. This one's a great one. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And many of you have heard this before, but I want to read the passage so you know what it has to say. Psalm 118. Who knows what verse I'm going to? What am I going to? Who knows what verse? Verse 24. Verse 24 says this, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How do you not love that? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Not tomorrow is the day that the Lord has made.
A week from Tuesday is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Super Bowl Sunday is that it? Well, that is today, so that kind of. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, Christmas is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I mean, it's like, come on. This is the day. What day? This day. What day? Today. Today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice, be glad in it. You should be thankful and happy that you're in it. This could be the day that you ain't in it. So it's like, you should be thankful you is in it. Right? I mean, really, this is the day, you get that? The Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. All right, let's close out with something that we're all familiar with. Philippians chapter 4 and then 1 Peter chapter 5 and we'll be done. Day by day. You guys getting the emphasis here? I just want to make sure that everybody's... You can walk out of here and completely forget it. That if for one day you walk day by day, then it's a victory. For one day. That's all I'm looking for from you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Not a lot of room for complaining there, seriously. Just not a lot of room. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the way to reach the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that guards your heart and your minds, is to do this, not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, bring it to God. And let Him handle it. And let Him take care of tomorrow, since He already knows what tomorrow will bring. And let Him deal with 2 months from now, and 2 years from now, and 5 years from now, and 50 years from now. Let Him take care of that financial burden that you don't know how you're going to take care of a year and a half down the road, because you don't know how to take care of it a year and a half down the road, because you are not a year and a half down the road, and God is. So you bring it to Him, and you petition Him, and you say, here, I can't do this. You do this. This is you. I'm your kid. I'm just a dumb one of your kids. Help me out. You know, it's like, that's what you do. That's what all kids do to their parents, don't they? All right, let's close with 1 Peter and we'll be done. 1 Peter. Now, I like this word because this word, well, it doesn't got a lot of sizzle. It's very, very practical. It's like, man, I need to use it. When she said that to me, I was like, man, alive. I got to do that. I got to think along those lines. All right, let's close with this. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Now, part of that leads me to believe that humility has to do with the fact that you don't control the future. And you should humble yourself and be aware of that. And then he says this, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And this is one of those great passages where Peter, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, hey, you know all that anxiety that's inside you, that big ball of, you know, fur that's not good kind of thing? Dump that on God because He cares. And He'll hold it for you. He ain't worried about it. He isn't incapable of doing it. He's not afraid of it. But He's waiting for us to yield it. And then He'll take care of it. So in regards to what happens tomorrow, I don't know what will happen tomorrow. But I know a little bit Him who does. That's what I need for that. Today, I'm going to use the faith. I'm going to pray for my daily bread and move forward. And then tomorrow, I'm going to start with new mercies, new compassion, and new graces, and do it all again, and see what next adventure He has.